the book of Romans today, but we are going to go to the place or a letter, the first letter to the Corinthians. Let's go there. It was from Corinth that Paul wrote the letter to the Romans. But let's go to 1 Corinthians 3 today, because I sense a leading towards this. This is important. We've mentioned it this morning already, in part, and let me speak on this here. So 1 Corinthians 3, 1, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able. So he's talking to infants in Christ. Anyone interested in finding out what an infant is in Christ? Anyone interested in making sure they're not continuing as an infant in Christ? Yes. Okay, let's read on. It says, for you are still carnal. So carnality is a sign of infancy in Christ. Watch this. For where there are envy. Let me share just briefly on this. Envy. We had seen miracles of God. There's only one genuine response to a miracle of God, and it's glory to God, hallelujah, worship him and praise his holy name. Amen? Amen. But sadly, such is the carnality within the church that some become envious when someone works a miracle, and they become envious of that person. I've experienced this. They become envious, and then they become critical. And instead of celebrating with joy and praise to God that God has manifest through his people, it doesn't matter which person. I mean, what should it matter if he chose to manifest himself through you or through me? What difference would it make? It wouldn't make any difference at all. It shouldn't. We should be equally as delighted and equally as praising the Lord for that. But I've seen envy. Do you know, I've had pastors come to me and say, this is all very good. We've never seen anything like this. But you know, the problem with you is, what do we do now? I said, what do you mean the problem with me is what you do now? Well, what do we do now? We can't do that. I've had pastors of big churches. What do we do now? We can't do that. Over 1,000 member churches, you know. What do we do? And I said, well, listen, I can't do it either. What can I do? I'm just flesh, blood, and bone like you. Everything is about him. Amen. And if you get off your religious program and get with God, you'll find that he'll manifest. It's the manifestation of God that leads to these things, not a human being. I mean, it's not about human beings. It's about God. And so, but you see, they have a very religious mindset. And usually, you know the ones who say, who are always accusing people of being religious, oh, it's religious, who's religious? And they're running around the church, you know, running around and, you know, and we're not religious, way, and running around. They're the most religious folks I've ever encountered. Because they're going to do it their way, you know, they're free. They say they're free in the Lord, you know, we're free to have the flashing lights, we're free to have the things. I like flashing lights. I like smoke bombs. I like all of it, okay? I'm happy with the whole thing. I got no problem with any of that at all. But I will never think that that is freedom in Christ. That's not freedom in Christ. That's colorful lights, pretty lights, and smoke bombs. It's not freedom in Christ. And loud music and being free on the stage and wearing two hats and two pairs of glasses at the same time or whatever it is, that's not necessarily freedom. Do you see what I'm saying? That's not necessarily freedom. What that is fashion, and that's there, you know, and that's fine. You know, I mean, you should see me in my 20s. But the point is, freedom in Christ is about power. The freedom and the liberty of Jesus is about really having the power of God manifesting in and through our lives. That there's a difference because of that. So it's strange what people are like. Envy, it says. And then the next word says strife and divisions among you. I've got people coming to me and they say, well, you know, you believe this and we believe that and we'll just, you know, and we just, yeah, well, hold on a sec. You believe that, I believe this, and now you're equating yourself with me. These people, they never preached. They don't see people healed. They've never seen anyone converted. They don't do anything. They're not involved. There's no power. There's nothing at all. The testimony, they're barely, you know. But they think they're on an equal footing. Do you know, church, there is such a thing. God has designed church with leadership. But we live in the age of rebellion. There's rebellion is the fashion of the day. If things are, there's a spirit of this age is rebellion. And so it wants to rebel against the structure of the church. It wants to rebel against the structure of God. It's rebellion. There's a spirit in it. It says, you know, we're going to have a prayer meeting on Wednesday nights. Oh, well, that's good for you. I'm not going. I don't want to go. Yeah, but I thought you were a member of the church. Well, I've got other things to do. Well, hold on. You're a member of the church, but you're just not bothered. Well, I've got other things. I'm just doing other things. And it's like it's rebellion. Or Sundays come along and you know, well, you know, we may be there, we may not be. You know, just see how we feel. You know, we're busy people. It's rebellion, folks. Look, going Jesus' way, it's about yielding to Jesus. When we yield to Jesus, what happens is he puts us in a thing called his body. His body. And his body is known as the ecclesia, the church. I have people who are outside of the church, nothing to do with the church, not involved with the church, and yet now, you know, instructing on how church should be. You couldn't imagine it. Oh, well, you know, if you just did it this way and this way, what is it? It's rebellion. It's a spirit of rebellion. You see, God wants us to be united. He wants us to have one mind. What is your opinion? Don't count your own opinion. Don't count your own opinion as anything. Yield your opinion. Yield your opinion to the Word of God. Yield your opinion to the church in which God has placed you. Don't count your own opinion as something. What's your own opinion? Where's your own opinion got you? No, don't count your own opinion. Count his opinion. Yield to his way. What he's saying to us. And then our opinion will have something when it's yielded to him and it's shaped by him. You see, the enemy wants us to have envy, strife, and divisions among you. Are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? We're not meant to behave like mere men. We're different. We're supernatural beings. We're not meant to behave like normal mortal beings. You're not just a human being. The life of God is in you. Jesus is alive. He's manifesting in us. He wants to manifest in and through us. We're not normal beings. Our life isn't just an ordinary human life. You look like a human being. Sure, you've got the form of a human being, just like anyone else out there would have. But to view it on those sights is just to be carnal. To look at it from that perspective only, it would be carnal. You're so much more than that, because inside of you dwells the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit manifests through a yielded life. Show me people who don't regularly and want to have a desire to come to church meetings throughout the week, to be in the prayer meetings, to be as often as they can in the church service. I'll show you people who in 10 years' time will look back with little accomplishment in the things of God. Now, I'm just being honest. Show me people who have yielded their lives, been in prayer, spent time in the things of God. In 10 years' time, testimonies. A life filled with testimonies. And God is calling us to this. And he's warning us of the other. And he says, for when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? He's mentioned this earlier in the book. And this is talking actually about denominationalism. You know, because you have some people, they say, oh, I'm a Baptist, oh, I'm Pentecostal, oh, I'm Anglican, or whatever I am. Well, you know, I mean, sectarianism is clearly opposed here. It's nothing to do with New Testament Christianity. What God is saying to us is, look, he wants the best for us. He wants the best for us. He's got the best for us. But he's saying to us, look, the way for us to receive his best is to yield. And to yield to who we are in him, to yield to the church. Don't strive against the church. Be with the church. Be part of the church. Take up your place in the body of the church. And manifest that life. And the way we receive the fullness of him is in yieldedness. This cross, we mentioned earlier about taking up our cross, the responsibilities that God has given us in our life. But you know, his yoke is easy. His burden is light. It's not heavy. It's just yieldedness. It becomes heavy for those who don't do it. And it appears heavy. And it appears daunting. And this might appear like a heavy message to some. They haven't done this. What they've done is they've created their own little path in which they're pleased to walk. But it's not this path. See, there's an array of paths, but the Bible gives us the path. And it's a narrow path, and it leads to life. And so, what I like to do is this. I like to remember everything I've ever done wrong, everything, every mistake, every sin, everything, he took it all on that cross. He took it all. I'm clean before him. You're clean before him, folks. You are clean. There's nothing that you need to do to prove yourself. There's nothing that you need to try and strive for or achieve. You're clean before Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
He loves you.
Amen.
And because of that, what we do now is we say, right, he's been so good to me. He's imputed his righteousness into me. The Bible actually describes me as the righteousness of God in Christ. I mean, can you... Isn't that beautiful? Whatever you've done, it's been dealt with. It's finished. It's dealt with at the cross. And the gratitude that fills us then, and the joy of that reality, is the thing that should spur us on to living this way. So when we come together, instead of being carnal, instead of thinking the wrong things, instead of being, you know, led by the flesh, as it were, let's be led by the Holy Spirit. Let's not quench the Holy Spirit. Yielding to the Holy Spirit, allowing the filling of the Holy Spirit to be the thing that dominates us. You know, the filling of the Holy Spirit, like an Alka-Seltzer. Everyone know the Alka-Seltzer tablets?
Yeah.
The filling of the Holy Spirit is like when those drop into the water and it just permeates right throughout that glass. After 5 minutes, you don't see the bubbles anymore. It looks exactly the same as it did before, but it's completely different. It's filled with the Holy Spirit. We're filled with the Holy Spirit. We're under His control. When someone takes a taste of us now, we taste different than we used to. We should taste very different than we used to. And that comes from yielding to the filling of the Holy Spirit. Praise His name. Look, we just touch on something there. And just to say that we must yield. Let's stand. Let's pray together, shall we? Father God, we worship You and honor You today. Lord, we give You all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. Father God, we thank You for who You are in our lives. We worship You and honor You today. And Father God, we say this, that we don't want to walk with envy and strife and divisions. We don't want those divisions, Father. We don't want strife. We don't want envy. What we want is unity and love and peace and maturity in Jesus. That when we walk and fellowship together, there's a unity. Father God, we ask that You would help through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to prompt us towards unity, prompt us towards love for one another. Prompt us, Father God, to the life of the Holy Spirit. The life under the control of the Holy Spirit. Not a carnal life, but a life under Your control. Father God, we ask that You have Your way with us. Oh, Heavenly Father, have Your way. Look, everyone, please close your eyes now. No one looking around. Every eye closed, no one looking around. And just, if you want to say this morning that you want to respond to God and say, look, Heavenly Father, I don't want to be having a carnal perspective any longer. I want to be yielded to Your body. I don't want to be someone who's causing division or strife. I want to have the same mind with my brothers and sisters. And I'm aware that I haven't had that. I'm aware that perhaps I've been inclined to strife. Maybe I've been inclined to unnecessary strife. Father God, I want to ask You this morning that change this morning. And that I be filled with the Holy Spirit, under the control of the Holy Spirit. Look, if that's you this morning, just respond to God right now by lifting up your hand. Father God, we thank and praise You for hands lifted. Father God, we thank and praise You that Your will manifest in our lives. Lord, we thank You that as we yield to You, You will manifest in and through us, that the power of the gospel will be in and through our lives, that Jesus will be celebrated in and through our lives, that people will come to faith in Jesus in and through our lives, that people's lives will be transformed in and through our lives. And the working of the power of God will manifest in and through our lives. Father God, we say this morning then, have your way with us. Thy will be done. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Praise be to God. Amen.